A candidate questions rules that are set to produce an all-male Republican presidential debate tomorrow night. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. The economic forecasters looked at weak retail sales. They looked at slower growth, as calculated in the gross domestic product. They considered the tough winter weather last month. And still, the aggregate prediction is that in an hour and a half, the U.S. government will report moderate to strong job growth, perhaps 188,000 more people on payrolls, with the survey of households showing the unemployment rate holding steady at 5%. The experts, need we point out, can be wrong, and will be watching closely to see if wages went up much in January, Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
Productivity, how much stuff we make and services we provide for every hour of work we put in as a nation, rose just 0.3% in 2015. That is very, very weak, says economist Patrick Newport at IHS Global Insight.
You're seeing productivity growth rates less than one-fourth what we were seeing in the 70 years before the Great Recession.
Productivity is closely tied to wages. Employers pay us more with the increased profits they can get from us being more efficient and productive. Right now, productivity and wages are both stuck, and one reason, says Josh Bivens at the Economic Policy Institute, is lack of investment by businesses.
They're not very convinced they should open new factories and build new hotels because the ones they have are not running at full capacity, and so they need to see more customers and more demand growth before they'll do that investment.
Businesses do have lots of cash on hand, so economists say productivity could improve if only the economy gets really hot again. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Imagine as you boarded a flight, if you could see what everyone paid for their ticket, you'd know in a hurry if you got a good deal or a bad deal. Using that principle, a group of big corporations have banded together to let each other know what deals they've negotiated with health insurance companies. There's news 20 big companies have formed an alliance to share the terms of their coverage, big names like Macy's, Coca-Cola, Shell. Data on how well patients do will also be part of this. The idea is to figure out what holds down insurance costs, findings that could percolate beyond the original companies in this alliance. ABC Television, a unit of the Walt Disney Corporation, is running tomorrow night's Republican debate in New Hampshire. Among those not invited and unhappy about that is Republican presidential candidate Carly Fiorina, the former CEO of Hewlett-Packard. ABC's criteria favor the top three in Iowa, top six in the polls in New Hampshire, or the top six in national polls. Fiorina is fighting this, and when we connected from New Hampshire yesterday, here's what I asked. Mrs. Fiorina, ABC Television has to draw a line somewhere. I know it must be frustrating, but why should they bend the rules for you?
They don't have to draw the line where they've drawn it. I have more delegates than people standing on that stage. I have more cash on hand than people standing on that stage. I just beat people who are standing on that stage. For heaven's sakes, voters can handle eight candidates, so I'm the only one they're going to keep off that stage? I don't think so.
I was looking at your letter to the RNC, the Republican National Committee. It makes the point that you should be included in the debate in part, because you've raised more money than some other candidates. Do it your way. That might suggest that wealthier donors get a pretty big role in choosing who got to be on that stage. That's not going to sound right to some people.
Well, and it's not true either. I assume you recognize that there are loads of small donors. But the ability to raise money, and we've done a great deal of it online with small donors, the ability to raise money is a show of support. It also demonstrates viability. There are a couple people standing on that stage who aren't viable after New Hampshire. They're not on the ballots in all the states, as we are. It's not about wealthy donors. If that were the case, then, you know, Jeb Bush would be leading because he has more wealthy donors and more money than anyone else, and he spent more money than anyone else.
I want to take a moment here now to talk to you about the economy for a second. Some economists I talk to are not ruling out the chance that this country will be in a recession by the time of Election Day in November. It's not the consensus. It's not a foregone conclusion. But is this economy getting the attention it requires in this campaign?
Well, it depends on who the candidate is. But certainly I give it a lot of attention. Working families' wages have stagnated for 40 years. We are destroying the job creators of this nation who actually are not big companies, but small companies. And new companies and family-owned businesses. the crushing weight of government is destroying them. So whether or not we're in a recession, we cannot settle for an economy where record numbers of men are out of work and record numbers of women are living in poverty and our young people don't think the American dream is real anymore. We can't settle for that.
It's not just small business. I was looking at some data that we gathered. It's often new companies that are engines for job growth. What could you do for them so that they could perhaps come up with even more jobs?
New companies are vital. So despite all the hoopla over Silicon Valley, most new companies get their loan, their helping hand, from community banks or credit unions. They are being destroyed. We've now destroyed 1,591 community banks. We've destroyed 20% of the credit union industry.
Because of post-financial crisis regulation?
Because of Dodd-Frank. Wall Street banks helped write that legislation to protect themselves. So now instead of 10 banks too big to fail, we have five even bigger, even more powerful, even more entrenched banks. And the little guys, the community banks and the credit union industry, are being destroyed. When government is big and powerful and complicated, only the big and the powerful and the wealthy and the well-connected can handle it, and that's what's going on.
Carly Fiorina, thank you for this.
Thank you, David.
All our interviews with the candidates as we get them are accumulating at marketplace.org. Our senior producer, Nicole Childers, digital producer, Tobin Lowe, Stephanie Hughes does Marketplace Tech. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.